Good evening and welcome to our celebration of life. Many of you are here in Utah and enjoying this wonderful winter wonderland. We're concerned about getting our office staff home this evening, one heading north, one heading south, and trusting everybody got home okay. It's quite a storm that is hitting Utah right now, and I talked to a friend in Idaho for those in Utah, and he said they've got 4-foot drifts in their front yard and have had a foot of snow, so we could have quite an interesting experience tonight in the morning. But what a beautiful place. Had a conversation with someone else today who is down south and enjoying a beautiful day and was going to go play golf, so it just depends on where you are. But welcome tonight, and especially if you're a guest. Every Tuesday night we get together to take on our lives. We take these times very seriously. It's an opportunity for us to get real and talk about those things that matter most. We just sent out a new newsletter. Many of you have already received it. It's in the last 30 minutes. And the article, feature article in that newsletter is entitled, "The Rules Have Changed." Do you know the new rules? The rules have changed. And they have changed. They've changed for business. They've changed financial rules. They've just changed. And we didn't get to vote. Take a few moments and read that article and send it to friends who may be struggling so that they can find some sense out of the craziness that they might be experiencing in their lives. This will be a great gift to give them. We sent it out a couple of days ago to one of our new clients who's going to be publishing it in their newsletter, Ron LeGrand's organization. He has said that it spoke right to what people are dealing with right now. So please take an opportunity to read that. In that newsletter, you'll also notice two special events that are coming up. These are very exciting things. I normally wouldn't talk to them on this call, but I want to mention them to you because we just posted tonight on YouTube the video from the last women's retreat. We had such a wonderful time with these women and had a little video camera and another camera just shooting some still photos. And Cindy Simmons, my daughter, did a beautiful job of putting together just a fun 11-minute video of that experience with those powerful, powerful women. We are going to be having another women's retreat on January 27th through the 30th. So if you didn't come to the last one, you want to come to this one. Now, we were able to do four-wheeling. The weather held out for us, and we went on a wonderful four-wheel drive ATV trip on Saturday. But this time, we'll be going snowmobiling. The elk will be at the Hardware Ranch, and we'll take just about an all-day trip on Friday to Hardware Ranch, and we'll have our meeting there at the ranch. We'll eat lunch there. We'll take a sleigh ride amongst the wild elk, come back, and the next day will be the day that you spend at the spa, about 6 or 7 hours at a private spa. So ladies, if you're looking for something special, click on and get registered. And men, if you're looking for something exceptional to give your wife for Christmas, for the holidays, this would be the ideal gift. And second of all, the couples retreat. That's going to be held in February. It's the week of Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is on a Monday, and we're going to leave that Thursday afternoon and go up to the cabin for Friday and Saturday for a 3-night, 2-day couples retreat. Now, we've had over 50 couples go through these couples retreats. We only do 5 at a time. It's very select. Each person has their own bedroom suite with their own bathroom, and very private and romantic. It's going to be so beautiful up there in the winter to have that moon rise up over that lake and sit in that jacuzzi and snowflakes falling around. This is going to be just a beautiful place for that retreat, and we'll have a great time together. So if you're thinking about your holiday gift giving, you might give yourselves a couples retreat. It could be Christmas and Valentine's all together if you'd like. And the women in your life, bless their life. We had some miracles occur, just miracles. People having an opportunity to step back and see life so differently. And we continue to work with these wonderful people as they continue to experience these miracles in their lives. So We just want to mention those two things. Enjoy the newsletter. Enjoy the article. The rules have changed. Do you know the new rules? And share that with your friends. Now, I've been pondering this. Tonight, this is a special night. If you're a guest with us tonight, every about 10 to 11 weeks, we cycle back through the six qualities of an intentional creator. And tonight, we start over. So you're right at the very beginning. And the very first quality of an intentional creator is connecting with people. Now, I'm going to borrow something right out of this article, because in the article it talks about the six rules. And the first rule, rule number one, is this. It is not about me. That's rule number one. It has always been about others. Ogg calls this the greatest secret of success in all ventures. However, for two decadent decades, we have been instructed to make it all about us. Following these instructions, we have focused on satisfying our desires, our pleasures, our needs. We have grown to believe that the delivery of riches is based solely on our personal worthiness for wealth. Sadly, the dark journey down this rabbit hole did not result in peace of mind and promised enlightenment, especially when tested by the very real firestorms of life that are currently raging around us. In fact, the results were often just the opposite. We were left empty and often made decisions that also left us very alone and lonely. Our character has been forged in the furnace of adversity. We know what pain feels like. We can choose to wallow in self-pity and pain, or we can choose to use these life experiences as a rich resource to better connect and serve others. When we learn how to do the latter, which is what we're going to be talking about tonight, there is finally purpose in our suffering, joy in our journey, and much healing in our souls. In the last paragraph, we will all want to discover how our life experiences have prepared us perfectly for this moment in time. We'll want to master the seven principles of intrinsic validation and learn how to step into someone's world, take down walls of resistance, create safe places, and unleash huge reserves of cooperation and productivity. We will want to experience the very real joy that comes from being the beneficiary of this huge reserve as it is released. We will want to experience the joy that comes from being a partner with a power greater than ourselves in bringing joy to others. We want to be there, ready to walk through the doors that open as we joyfully serve. We will want to master quality one of becoming an intentional creator, connecting with people. So rule number one we're going to talk about tonight. It's not about me. It's just not about me. It never was. Now, I want to go to an event that occurred this morning while maintaining confidences. I had the privilege of doing an assessment debrief on just a wonderful human being. We generally allot about anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes approximately for that debrief to go through someone's results. This meeting this morning lasted 2 hours and 45 minutes, quite unusual. However, it lasted exactly as long as it should. At the end of this conversation, this individual said to me, "I feel like I have bared my soul to you. I have told you things I have never discussed with another human being." I smiled because we hear this often. And when he got done sharing how comfortable he was in doing that, I simply said, "Thank you for trusting me." And he smiled. I could hear it in his voice. He said, "You know, Dave, I do trust you." I was immediately drawn to one of my favorite books, Stephen M. R. Covey's book, The Speed of Trust. And this afternoon I took some time to go back and review a couple of chapters, because connecting with people is not about creating rapport, like it's a nicety we do before we launch in with our agenda. Connection is very literally about creating trust. I feel like I've known this man for years, and he felt the same way. There was trust. The walls of resistance were down. There was a safe place for us to discuss life at a level that life needs to be discussed for the kinds of decisions he was making. And many of you are in businesses where you're asking people to make life-changing decisions. And we have two choices. We can be very superficial, kind of do the nicety, then plow in with both claws, or we can create trust. If we create trust, they will let us in their world. And we'll be there with them while they're making their decisions. And if we're in their world with them, we can give gentle guidance and persuasion to assist them in making wise decisions. If we just practice superficial techniques, just techniques, we'll never be in the place where those decisions are made. In other words, they'll go in there by themselves, and they'll go into their sabotaging thought processes, their prejudice, their bias, and make a decision, and often not even in their own best interest. We will want to learn how to create trust. Well, I want to share a couple things with you on that topic before we go into the specifics that we teach in this particular section, this quality of connecting with people. Stephen M. R. Covey suggests that trust has four core elements. And think about, as we talk about connecting with people, how these four core elements impact this conversation. He said the very first core element is integrity. Basically, that we walk our talk. Gandhi said, "My life is an indivisible whole, and all my activities run into one another. My life is my message." What Gandhi thinks, Stephen writes this, what Gandhi thinks, what he feels, what he says, what he does are all the same. He does not need notes. You and I, we think, are one thing, feel another, say a third, and do a fourth. So we need notes and files to keep track. Trust comes from congruence, humility, courage. This is defining integrity. Whoever is careless with the truth in small matters cannot be trusted with important matters. It's Albert Einstein. So when we show up to connect with someone, we're going to want to ask ourselves, are we integrous? He says, a humble person is more concerned about what is right than about being right, about acting on good ideas than having the ideas, about embracing new truth than defending outdated position, about building the team than exalting self, about recognizing contribution than being recognized for making it. Very powerful concepts. So integrity. So as we start to discuss connecting with people, and we're going to get into this space, this very sacred space where I was with this wonderful human being this morning, behind the scenes, inside somebody's life, inside our own, we're going to want to go into our own life and say, do I walk my talk? Do I? We talked last week about self-esteem, and one of the great causes of challenges in self-esteem is a discrepancy between how we present ourselves to the world and our private and secret self, that confusion. So as we go through this series of qualities this time, let us truly examine ourselves. Are we walking our talk? John Huntsman said this, there are no moral shortcuts in the game of business or life. There are basically three kinds of people: the unsuccessful, the temporarily successful, and those who become and remain successful. The difference is character. Hussman is the chairman of Hussman Chemical. So let's examine our integrity. So just write down on a piece of paper the four cores of trust, four core elements. One is integrity, core number one, integrity. Core number two is intent, and this is at the core of connecting with people. When we talk about stepping into someone's world, we talk about leaving our baggage and our agenda at the door. He says, this has to do with our motives, our agendas, and our resulting behavior. Trust grows when our motives are straightforward and based on mutual benefit. In other words, when we generally care not only about ourselves, but also for the people we interact with, lead, or serve. When we suspect a hidden agenda from someone, or we don't believe they are acting in our best interest, we are suspicious about everything they say and do. The question is, how do they feel about us? Do we show up, and while we're listening, are we, in fact, formulating our response? Do we come with the intent to sell, or the intent to find out if what we have to offer will serve? Agenda grows out of motive. It's what you intend to do or promote because of your motive. The agenda that generally inspires the greatest trust is seeking mutual benefit. So as we get into the steps of intrinsic validation, and it comes time to gain agreement and share with someone, we're looking for mutual benefit. That inspires trust. Typically, behavior is the manifestation of motive and agenda. The behavior that best creates credibility, inspires trust, is acting in the best interest of others. So those are two. So you got your list. Core one, integrity. Core two is intent. Core three is an interesting one, because sometimes we don't think about this when we're getting ready to connect with another human being, and that's our capabilities. This is a very interesting one. What are our capabilities, our capacity? You know, just because someone is a heart surgeon doesn't mean we have him crack our chest open, especially if he's got a bad reputation as a heart surgeon. Now, Stephen R. Covey gave us an acronym. It's called TASKS, T-A-S-K-S. Let me give this to you because I think it's wonderful. If you haven't read his book, it's TASKS. T stands for talents. So as we're looking at our capabilities, we're going to approach this person. We want to connect with them, especially if we're in a business where we need to recruit someone or sell someone. What are our capabilities? So what are our talents? T in task, talents. A, what's our attitude? Scroll number six, today I'll be the master of my emotions. Yea, the trees and flowers create their own weather, or depend on the weather, but yea, I create my own, I carry it with me. What is my attitude today? So A is for attitude. S is for skills. What are my skill sets? If I'm in a business, am I the very best I can be at that business? If I'm a coach, am I the very best coach? Am I working on my skills of being a great coach? If I'm a network marketer, am I working on my skills of being the very best networker? If I'm an insurance agent, am I working on the very best skills of being an insurance salesperson? Knowledge. Do I know my product? Do I really know it? Is it like second nature to me? That's the K, T-A-S-K, and S is style. Is there a little style? Hogg talks about this in delivering a sales speech. I develop a style. That's me. And as Hogg says, I display my uniqueness in the marketplace. Yeah, I proclaim it. Have a style. So what talents or natural gifts and strengths do we have? Now, if we say, well, I've got a problem in the skill set area, don't get discouraged. Just go get the skills. If it's knowledge, go learn the information. If it's attitude, Change your attitude. We can't expect to create trust with someone if we don't have the capability to be discussing the thing we want to discuss. So capability, this is a key piece. The last is trust. And I love this one. Excuse me, not trust, but results. The last core of trust, results. So integrity, intent, capabilities, and results. What are our results? What do we bring to this discussion in terms of history about our results? What is our credibility based on our results? I love this paragraph. He said, it's vital to take responsibility for results, not just activities. This approach unleashes creativity. And how does that unleash creativity? Let's think about this for a moment. Okay, am I focused on being busy, 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 for which there are no awards, ever? Or do I focus on getting results? If I'm focused on results, if what I'm currently doing doesn't work, then I try another way, and then another. Quoting Stephen M. R. Covey, you don't just sit there and whine, quote, well, I did what you told me to do, end quote. This focus on results is so powerful. He said, accomplishing results will build credibility and trust. But simply taking responsibility for results will also build credibility and trust, sometimes even when the results are not good, and sometimes when they are not even your fault. Accountability, responsibility for results. So we come to the topic of connecting with people, knowing that really our mission is not to gain rapport so that we can sell our agenda. We have come to create trust. How are we showing up in terms of our integrity? Do we walk our talk? What is our intent? Is it the interest of the person we're talking? Is it a mutual interest? Or are we there just to persuade or manipulate for our benefit, no matter how clever we might call it? Intent. What are our capabilities in terms of talents and attitude and skills and knowledge and style? The TASKS acronym. And what are our results? So we show up to have this conversation. The more congruent we are in those four areas as an individual, the more effective we are in connecting with people. Because without this core piece, we're just talking technique. Seven principles of intrinsic validation. I do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Connections made, sales made, done. It doesn't work that way. So let us examine these pieces. Now, last week we talked about self-esteem, and it's so critical that we don't beat ourselves up for deficiencies if we see them. Let us relish in the discovery for this reason. Success depends on us discovering and making any necessary corrections. Success does not just happen. It's intentionally created. And part of that intentional creation is identifying a challenge and then taking on the challenge. Isn't this a fun thing to discover? You might say, well, no, I don't like that, David. I just want to be successful. Well, if we want to be successful, the decision has been made. Our free agency goes back to success or no success. I want success. Okay, once that decision is made, we don't get to choose what we do next. Those choices have already been laid out before us. And one of those keys will be to become congruent in all these areas of trust. Now, with that being said, we're going to come the best we can tonight. And I don't want for a moment to suggest that I'm coming whole. I'm inviting all of us to take this look. I said to a coaching client the other day, and I got a little tough with him for a moment. It was a tense moment, because he needed a little swift kick in the behind, because I needed a swift kick in the behind. I saw in him the very issue that I had been dragging my feet on. And as I spoke to him, I paused and said, "Do you know why I'm telling you this today?" And he said, "Well, I needed to hear it." And I said, "Yes, but the truth is we both needed to hear it, both of us." So I come to you in that spirit as we talk about this today. We both need to hear this today, both of us. Because the rules have changed. We don't get to manipulate. We don't get to be less than integrous in all that we do. We don't get to be shoddy in our work. We don't get to be busy, busy, busy and somehow magically get results. We have to be very intentional to survive in today's marketplace. So I'm saying to you what I'm saying to me. We must be courageously intentional. What we know is this. As we start to deal with connecting with people, I want you to go to your tool sets if you're looking at your assessment. And by the way, from now on, when you come to the Tuesday night calls, I want you to have your assessment up on your computer screen. If you don't have it up, just go to intentionalcreation.com. The bottom right underneath the graph, there's a member login. Click on that. You'll put in your username, that's your email address and your password, and you'll be there. You'll be in the tool set. And you click on My Assessments, and that'll take you to the assessment. Most everybody here has taken an assessment. They know what it looks like. Right below the assessment, just click on Creation Tools and go back into your tool set. This is your studio. This is where all of the information is to study. You'll notice on the left-hand side it says 10 scrolls. You click on that, and you get to pick in the middle column which scroll you want to look at, and the big right box, the Learning Center, has the audio bars for listening to the scrolls and unveiling the secrets, breakthrough journal, a place to keep track of your reading, the scrolls written out. If you click on the left-hand side on Quality 1, Connecting with People, you'll notice that the very first thing is your assessment report. What we have done is broken your big assessment report into the six qualities. There are six very specific measurements that relate to connecting with people. So when you go into your tool set, click on Quality 1. In the table of contents in the middle, click on your assessment report and read those six measurements. Empathetic. What's happening to the underlying thoughts? Are they supporting this? The ability to see the pricelessness in another person? Respectful. Are they supporting you in seeing and acknowledging, appropriately acknowledging, someone's accomplishments? Accepting. Are they allowing you to see both the challenges and the good in a person, their belief systems versus what they actually do? Are they supporting you in being tolerant? Even when someone doesn't believe the same way you believe, can you be tolerant and also at the same time be wise? See the risks associated with those differences. Just and fair. Can you draw boundaries? How often does someone violate boundaries by underperforming, for an example, and yet we don't confront them because we don't want to cause stress in a relationship or blow up a business partner, whatever it might be? You don't want to blow up a business partner, but blow up the business that you're in partnership with. We just stick it in the gunny sack and deal with it until the gunny sack's so full we dump it out on top of them and cause challenges. What's happening with just and fair? and compassionate, the last of those six measurements. Can we see someone else's pain? Compassion, a willingness to suffer with someone. Those are the six measurements that we're specifically focusing on this week and next week as we go through connecting with people. Below the assessment, the next thing on the table of contents is the affirmations. Click on the affirmations if you're in your tool set. If not, just make a note to go back and check. These are the balanced statements for these six measurements: empathetic, respectful, accepting, tolerant, just, and fair, and compassionate. We've recorded them for you and put them to music. We've also printed them for you to read. I'd visit here often, maybe once a day. Come back and just go through these. Either listen to me read them to you and read along with me. I am empathetic. Listen to this, the power that's in this measurement. I am respectful. And listen to the power in this characteristic. And again, I am accepting. Spend some time with those affirmations. Below that, we start to go into the curriculum. And the very first one is Walls of Resistance. It's an 11-minute audio piece. You want to click and listen to that this week. Just go back and refresh your memory. If you've listened to it once before, listen to it again. If you've got an MP3 player, many of you are taking long drives over the holidays. Download them to an MP3 player for your ears only. And listen to them while you drive. While you're a passenger, I think, driving, because I'm not sure you're supposed to listen, unless you've got them playing in your stereo, which is okay. Listen to this wall of resistance, and know that as I show up to create trust with integrity, with intention that's congruent, capability, and results, that I'm going to encounter walls. And the more congruent I am in those four areas, the less troublesome those walls are going to be. You won't find this in the material I'm sharing it with you tonight. The walls of resistance that you will encounter will be less difficult when you show up congruent with the four cores of trust. One, there are mirror neurons, which are produced in the amygdala or fight or flight center, that really complex radar system that everybody has, will pick up your energy in terms of voice tone, muscle expressions on your face, posture. It'll pick it all up. Because when someone is totally congruent, they are so comfortable with themselves. Because there's not dialogue going on about them. They're showing up in the service of another person so comfortable and so whole that those mirror neurons read that comfort and put that person at ease. The walls begin to come down before we speak a word. We're going to talk about how to go beyond that tonight a little bit. But just know that when you show up honoring those four core principles of trust, much of the work is already done. When we show up less than integrous, with an agenda, not quite capable, and haven't created results in our life, and we're trying to pretend and impress, and all the overcompensations we go through, or we're nervous, or we're timid, or we're uncomfortable, those mirror neurons are picking all of that up, and we just made the walls bigger than they were. So someone says, do I really need to be all this stuff? Well, how hard do you want it to be? How hard do you want it to be? The more you show up congruent with those four core principles, the less of a challenge you're dealing with walls. But everybody has walls. Og says those walls are built because of hate and suspicion. It's like when you sense somebody's got kind of a hidden agenda, you're just waiting for the real reason why I called was, you're just waiting for it. You can feel it coming. We're just holding back. They're not getting our cooperation and productivity, and we can't expect somebody else to give it to us either. The wall's going to be there, and we can show up and throw up. I repeat this every time we go through this section, because it's maybe tonight we'll emphasize it enough that it will absolutely sink so deep into your soul. Because when we show up and throw up in our enthusiasm and we don't get the response, we often take it personally. What's wrong with me? I've been rejected. No, you haven't been rejected. When we do that, we just didn't know how or didn't care enough to take down the wall first. We wanted to shortcut the process. And so we started throwing up on the wall. When you throw up on a wall, it just splashes back. That's all. Blah, blah. Taste terrible. Rejection. Project, reject. It's just a wall. It's just a wall. It's not really about you. It's about what's happened to them in the past when they felt this way. So let us show up and remove the feeling. Let us show up to serve them, to create mutual benefit, something for their best interest. And some of that wall will start to melt away. Enough to at least begin a conversation. So everybody's got a wall. We'll just want to get used to it and honor people enough to take it down. So that's one. The next section in that table of contents is empathy intuition. Just click on that if you've got your tool set. This is about a 17-minute section. Not very long. But the core of this section is the Chicago Dream. Many of you have listened to it. We talked about this briefly last week with self-esteem. What am I carrying in my sack? We had such a tender conversation about this with the women in the women's retreat. Because so many are carrying so much in their sack. And sometimes we just want people to know how hard it is, how difficult it is, and all the sacrifices we're making, and how painful life is. And we discovered last week and again this week, nobody cares. People only care if we notice what they're going through. Well, we can get bitter about that. We can be a scorekeeper about that. We can spend our life being miserable about that. We can. Or we can smile and go, oh my goodness, I have never seen this before. I did not get this. I thought I was just having to give more of me. I was giving it before resentfully. And now you want me to just keep doing more of the same thing and somehow this is going to change everything? No. What I want us to do is get the secret. The secret, the greatest secret of success in all ventures. What is it? The secret is we get what we want and more when we focus on serving others. Mutual benefit. Oh, yeah. And when we understand this principle completely, we would never want someone to feel sorry about us because it's not going to change anything. Really isn't. What's going to change is having our wall come down, this person, and having all that reserve of cooperation and productivity they've been holding back behind their wall, having it pour out on us. We become the beneficiaries. How cool is that? The very thing we wanted, we got, not by being a victim, but by actually caring enough about the other person to serve them. This is so antithetical, so opposite to what the world teaches. But it is an absolute true principle. Everybody's got a wall. We use our life experiences to serve them in the Chicago Dream. I talked about some of the things I was dragging in my sack. You will this week want to spend some time asking yourself, what am I dragging? Am I dragging shame? Blame, anger, frustration? And how is all of that holding me back from being all that I can be? We've gone through these Gethsemanes. Now, I don't really believe, and I've heard people teach this principle, I don't believe that we intentionally go through bad things. I think life offers us up opportunity. And there are also things by our own decisions or the decisions of others that cause challenges. This is part of life. It's part of being human. I don't think God put me in the hands of a pedophile between the ages of 2 and 4. I don't think God did that. I think it was a set of circumstances in which I was placed in that position. If a woman has been sexually molested, I don't think God put them in a place where they could be sexually molested. I don't believe that. However, what I do believe is this. And it doesn't really matter what I believe, because either way, this is the truth. What am I going to do as a result of having had the experience? Because I can't take it back. I can't change the past, as much as I would like to. As irritated and frustrated as I might be, if there's anyone on the phone, for an example, who worked for a company for years and years and years and recently got laid off, or you put your life savings into a home, and maybe you upgraded in 2007 or 2008 at the height of the market, only to have that house worth far less than you paid for it. You may have lost your entire savings in that home. I've got a son just around the corner. Most conservative young man. He finished his PhD and is a wonderful scientist working for BART Access Systems. I remember when he was going to school, they owned a home. He and his wife shared a pair of jeans because they had the same size to save money. They used to buy ragoli or something, one of those canned things, every Tuesday in case lots because it had 2 coupons for a movie rental. And that was going to be their date night on Friday. They squeezed every penny. By the time they got out of school, they had a lot of equity in a home. They traded it for a beautiful home just a block and a half from here. They had a lot of equity in that home 2 years ago. There's not much there. We were talking about the other day. All that money they paid, because not only have they made their mortgage payment, they've been paying extra money every month to pay it down. Extra money. They own their cars free and clear. They have no debt. Saturday, we were over at their home watching 6-year-old Nathan in his cello recital, playing 20 pieces he had memorized. 6. I was in tears. Doing everything right. And almost every penny of that equity is gone right now. Anybody else having that kind of an experience? They saved their money. They minimized their debts. They've done everything right. And the world seems to have caved in. The rules have changed. And we want to keep hanging on to the past. We're going to stay in this till the price goes back up again. It probably won't happen in the next 5 or 6 years of the next decade. The rules have changed. Anybody on the phone tonight dragging around anger and frustration? I don't think there's one of us to a certain extent who doesn't have some of it. I think of my dear friend last year that found out that as they were investing their life savings, that it was a crook. And at 70 years of age, $300,000 is gone. Ah! It just makes your heart ache. Grandson, born with a blind eye, and perhaps the other one. Oh, it makes you ache. What have we got that we're hanging on to? Because one of the new rules is embracing what is. What is. Not what we wish it would be, not what our fantasies have seen, but what is. And as we embrace what is, we can see clearly other people who are just desperate. Not destitute. Some are, but not destitute. Desperate, as in desperately clinging on to those things. Can't do it anymore. It's time for us to look at it. Own that experience. And now show up in the service of others who are trying to figure out the new rules and help them find them. Not everything is an abusive situation that's causing this pain. Right now, the majority of what's in our sack. Did an assessment recently on a man who had enormous shame because he could no longer keep his kids in that private school. The horses in the private stables were gone. The country club membership was gone. He could no longer afford his home. He felt so ashamed that he couldn't provide. It was devastating him and his family. Oh, to accept what is and build from here, not on a house of fantasy, house of cards, but a solid foundation of reality. Now, I've taken that quite extensively. I just felt emotionally moved. Somebody's on the phone tonight who is just, want to put a fist through the wall. Can you feel it? I can feel it. Oh, bless your heart. The healing begins when we let go of what cannot change, that we have no control over, and focus on that with which we can change. And often that's ourself. As James Allen writes in A Man Thinketh, let us radically alter our thoughts, and we will be astonished at the rapid transformation will effect in the material conditions of our lives. Nobody's well healed right now. But I remember that night when it was gone. I remember that knife going into my chest and turning and crying out to God, you gave Abraham a ram. Where's mine? I started this conversation tonight with, in what ways have been you been uniquely prepared for this moment in time? I said on many occasions, I am an optimist. But I am gravely concerned as we have our fingers on the pulse of thousands of people, and what we are getting back is not a healthy heartbeat. Those who are on the precipice right now of making this decision, do I let it go and deal with what is, my invitation to you is to do it quickly. Because the instant you make that decision and begin this process, you are now prepared to serve those who are just beginning the fight. You know how painful this is to let go and to address what is. This is your gift, because as we've said, when we step into somebody else's world, we know the questions to ask no one else would know. We would not have known without our Gethsemane. We may have chosen not to go through that, but we did. We have. We can't take it back, and we know what pain feels like. And as we begin this process of stepping into someone's world, and we know the questions to ask, unscripted, they just flow from us, from our life experience, which won't flow until we accept what is. And ask ourselves, I wonder if anybody else is doing this. I wonder if. And we point our finger from the sack behind us to the person in front of us. I wonder if they. And we begin to see they're dragging a sack, and they're in enormous pain, and we show up, and we listen. my friend this morning had some painful things he was processing. Who does he talk to? He had not until this morning really put it all together and said yes. Because I went bang, 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 bang. Here's the four things that are happening. Does this sound familiar? It all came together. And if he finally got clarity around it. It was such a relief. Showing up in integrity, the best I could, with the intention of serving, with the capability of doing what I was doing, as you will with what you're doing, and creating results. Trust was established. Well, draw a T-square on your page. We did this last time. I played with this a bit since then. A T-square on the left side, right, noticing. On the right side, connecting. Some of us have been so tied up in our own stuff that even when we're talking to someone and thinking we're creating rapport, it's about us. It's about how they perceive us. It's about whether they're going to buy from us, if they're going to accept our advice from us. It's all about us. This may be a new thing for some on the phone to shift from looking at others in terms of us and looking at others in terms of them, showing up to truly serve their best interest, knowing that when we do, we are the beneficiaries of the cooperation and productivity. So on the left-hand side of this T-square is noticing, because we're going to start this week. Some of you have been through this cycle. I'm going to encourage you, inspire you if I can, because I'm going to do this week. I'm going to consciously look for what's important to people. That's principle number one. I'm going to really notice people. Notice. So under noticing, just write, look for what's important. What's important to them? And the clue is it probably won't be important to you. Just know that. When you find it, you're going to discover, I didn't like that. I gave several examples in the material. Tattoos, maybe pencil-thin mustaches and beards. I used examples of things of I would never grow nor ever do. What's yours? What might you notice that's important to another person that would not be important to you? Can you care enough about them to look? And when you see it, we see more than we actually verbalize. Underneath that, write, say it. Actually verbalize it. We're going to notice what's important and say it. Those are the two steps under noticing people. It's a glorious moment for any human being to come to the realization that to this moment in time, they've been believing that they notice, but they really haven't. They notice what's important to us in another person, but not what's important to that person. This is so essential, communication with teenagers. This isn't necessarily agreeing. It's just noticing. Because when the walls come down, you get to have conversations about all kinds of things that you cannot have till the walls are down. And the first step in taking the walls down is this side of noticing. It's seeing what's important to them and verbalizing it. Then we move to the other side, connecting. And we begin a process that's quite sacred. Dan Goldman talks about this in Social Intelligence. He says we are absolutely built to connect. Everything about the way our brain functions, the way the mirror neurons function, everything is designed to connect, but we've never been more disconnected as a society than in today's time. It's really sad. So we're going to start this connection. And the connection starts with, number one, listening. Listening. What are we listening for? Are we listening to respond? Or are we listening to understand? thinking about how we're going to respond. We are searching to gain understanding. That's going to cause us to be quizzical, questioning. I wonder what they meant by that. I wonder what's behind that word or that phrase. And we might have a notepad and start taking notes. We call it listening for doors, verbal hints about what they're thinking. They talk about a business in a certain way, or they talk about a spouse in a certain way, or they talk about a child in a certain way. Then you come back and say, could you tell me a little bit more about your daughter? You mentioned that she's doing this. And you find out wonderful things about this human being. Tell me a little bit more about your wife. What is her first name? Oh, okay. And you find out wonderful things about their relationship. And you meet their humor. And they start to feel, somebody cares enough about them to know this stuff? They really want to understand? Yeah, we do. We want to understand. We're not there just to create rapport so we can throw up on them. We're here to create trust. So we listen for doors, and when we hear a door, we step into their world. Well, tell me more about that. Or share with me more about this. Or tell me what you're thinking on this topic. And we're into their world. Now, we've got 2 minutes left. One last piece. We create a safe place. Creating a safe place, you cannot throw up on them about your story when their story triggers a memory. There'll be a time later, which we'll talk about next week, for sharing stories. There's an absolute appropriate time, but not right now. Right now, you're their world, listening to their story. And we're really not listening if we say, I understand where you are. That's a shortcut. If we understand where they are, we'll know the question to ask. Did you ever feel this way? Did you experience this? You ever done this before? Oh, yeah. Well, tell me more about that. And you go deeper into their world, creating a safer and safer place. And the safer it becomes, if you can catch this vision, the safer it becomes for them to be disclosing and open to you, the less there is a need for a wall. Now, we're not asking people to share confidences all the time. That's not what this is about. We're on a gossip pattern here. We're simply creating a safe place for them to feel comfortable with us without needing to protect themselves. And when we're in this space, we want to be very conscious of anything we would say or do that would cause those walls to come back up. Shortcut. Tell stories. Our stories. Anything. So this week we're going to practice showing up with integrity, with an intention to bless their interests and mutually benefit ours. We're going to show up with capacity. If we find a weakness, we're going to identify it, and that's what we're going to do on Tuesday night, or Wednesday night, I should say. Instead of watching TV, how about if we read a book? On an area we want to improve. We become intentional. My life has been such lately where I'm just exhausted when I come home. If there's a good TV show on, or, you know, I like the news channels, I like politics, I could spend a couple hours. I'm not sure what I really get out of it. If I'm recommitting with you, I've noticed some capacities recently I'd like to improve. So let's spend a little bit more time improving capacities than being absorbed in our televisions. And let us show up having created results because we focus on results. Let us show up bringing our life experiences. Let us let go this week. Begin to feel what it would be like that if we've lost a home, let it go. It's gone. Let's move on now to the recreation of something different. If someone has violated us, if we need therapeutic intervention, let's seek it. If we're ready to move beyond it now, then let us show up in the lives of others with that feeling of what it's like to be violated. It applied to so many things that people are experiencing. You'll know the questions to ask. Let us show up with our life experience. Let us notice what's important to other people, principle one. Let us verbalize it, principle two. Let us listen to understand and step into their world and create a safe place. And next week when we meet again, we will take on the last three principles of intrinsic validation. Then we're going to talk about partnership, perhaps differently than we ever have before. So in preparation, you got Thanksgiving holiday. There's some time to relax. If you're traveling, download the audios from these sections and listen to them. And next week we'll take on the balance of connecting with people in preparation for taking on our lives. Let us make this round in the six qualities of intentional creation the most powerful yet. Let us have days and weeks with breakthroughs. Let's be courageous. We share our love with you, especially those who have been hard hit with the holiday seasons coming. Hope you're okay if I just say our prayers are with you. As we become aware, we do all we can to serve. And may we all reach out to those who are less fortunate than us to ensure that people have the very best holiday possible. And everybody have a great season. We'll see you next Tuesday